السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم، والعاقبة للمتقين، أما بعد. Respected brothers, elders, علماء كرام, mothers and sisters who are at home, first and foremost, we'd like to extend our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for enabling us to come here and to give us the ability to remember Him on a collective basis. And this is something that if we really give it thought, it's a huge privilege and a huge honor to be in a place where we are going to directly connect with the most superior entity in existence. There is no being in existence that is greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we testify whenever we're going from one posture to another in our salah by saying, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. My dear respected brothers, one thing I'd like all of us to reflect over is, have we truly understood the greatness and the magnitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When we say those words, does it rock us? Do we have any emotions that we're experiencing at that time? Does it change our train of thought from going away from all of those distractions which are around us and make us focused completely on that entity? A serious question that we'd all like to ask ourselves, that when the name of Allah is taken, when we are testifying Allah is the greatest, is that greatness truly embedded in our hearts? If it is, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, my dear respected brothers, there is nothing on the face of this planet that would intimidate us. There's nothing on the face of this planet that would influence us to do anything that is not confluent with the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the greatness of Allah is truly embedded in our hearts. But if that greatness is only limited to our lips and tongues, if it is only something that I will say at a time when I am moving a tasbih in my hand, and it has not entered in our hearts, then at that time, my dear respected brothers, what will happen is it will be very easy for a person to shift from one position to another, from one viewpoint to another, from one custom to another, based on whatever society dictates. This is the border that saves a person from wavering from one position to another when that person has the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside their hearts. And as soon as that is eliminated or is missing from a person's heart, then it's very difficult for a person to remain focused on pleasing that one entity, on pleasing that creator, because the heart is occupied with other entities. And until the heart has not been flushed of those other entities, it will be very difficult for a person to be devoted and committed to pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, coming here to South Africa and being exposed to many of the services that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided the Muslim community. Having masjids within arm's length, having eateries that you can comfortably sit down and eat in, having a community where there's a very social, and I should say a very healthy social atmosphere. This is nothing but the bounty and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the community. Irrespective of what may have caused something like this to form. I mean, look away from the history. The very fact that something like this has come into fruition is nothing but the fadl and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I don't know how much more I can express the happiness and the joy when seeing something like this, because it's not a common sight from where we come from. It's not a common sight. Where you have, mashallah, people flooding the masjids, not only on Jumu'ah, But practically for every salah you have a fair crowd here. This is something that we should be truly grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over. And the only time we will be grateful to Allah is when we have the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. Now to get to the point, the thing is that now that we have an environment of this nature, we have one of two things that we can do in the midst of this environment. Either we can use this environment to our advantage and excel in spirituality, because the environment is confluent with the Sharia and the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's confluent to that one way, that highway to heaven, making it easy for us to go straight and not take any detours or exits before reaching our destination. It's a nicely paved road. And it's totally up to me how fast I want to travel on that road, because alhamdulillah, when it comes to moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are no speed limits. We can excel as quickly and comfortably as we like. So I can either take advantage of an environment of this nature, or I can become complacent and be comfortable with, alhamdulillah, there are masjids here. Alhamdulillah, we hear the adhan on the receiver. Alhamdulillah, there are jamaats that come here and they, you know, give their talks and encourage people to go out in the path of Allah. Alhamdulillah, we have programs. We're collectively remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. I can be happy with this type of environment and become complacent and become stagnant as a result. And the downfall of that is that I am depriving myself from getting a bigger paycheck from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day when I'm going to have a one-on-one interview with Him. And there's going to be no interpreter between me and Him. This is another standpoint. And further than that, what will happen is I can become totally sick and tired of this environment. And I see the grass on the other side, it looks much greener. Where people apparently are having fun. People are apparently having a good time in life. There's this new type of code, if I may call it, that is, well, it's said quite often down there in Canada. They call it YOLO. I'm not sure if we heard that. You only live once. And the implications of you only live once is live it up as much as you like. Enjoy yourself. Do whatever it takes to make you happy. Only for a person to realize down the road they are nothing but miserable and they're popping Prozac one after the other. So we have one of three stances that we can take. Either we excel, we become stagnant, or we move behind. I need to ask myself, what is the most healthiest standpoint to adopt for my long-term future? Because as Muslims, this is one thing we have to understand, we are not people who live the moment. As is the philosophy which is being pumped, especially within our youth nowadays, live the moment. We are not those people. Because when we live the moment, and do whatever our nafs dictates, wallahi al-azim, there is nothing but severe repercussions down the road. Don't look at the Hollywood stars and the Bollywood stars and whatever stars are out there that the tube is flashing in our faces. Because we only see that smile, which is 99.9% fake, for that one little moment. What goes on beyond, or I should say behind the camera, when you're off the set, when you're in your home, that story is seldom revealed. And if it is revealed many a times, it's being obviously added with 1,000 more lies because they need to sell tabloids. And there's a huge following for this, especially from where I come from. So, as they say, looks can be deceiving. What happens is when a person hasn't had a full understanding and even proper exposure or even a taste of the other side. And when I say the other side, we're talking about the darkness that shaitan loves to promote and beautify. And that was his commitment. Keep that in mind. Whatever goes on the other side, it's meant to look good. I mean, let's not be irrealistic with ourselves. Shaitan himself made that commitment to Allah, لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I definitely, without any doubt, for sure, guaranteed or your money back, I am going to beautify sin in the land and I'm going to set all of them astray. This is a commitment that he gave to Allah before him being banished. And he's been working full time on this without pay, without holiday. He wants to make sure that all of us accompany him where he's going, in that little pit known as hell. And whatever it takes to ensure that we become his victims, he will do. لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So this is the reality. It looks good. It looks beautiful. The glamour, the glitter, it's all there. But it is just nothing but an illusion. It's nothing but a hollow illusion. But what happens, a person will get attracted to it. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us over and over again, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. That guy's your enemy. Take him up as your enemy, don't look at him as a friend. So, the other side, it looks green. But in reality, it's not green at all. It's drier than the driest forms of grasses which are out there. But once a person gets involved in the other side, and he becomes unrepentant, this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after giving him a long period of time, and this guy just doesn't want to make a U-turn, then the most dangerous of experiences a person experiences at that time, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةً. That's when that person's heart has now been sealed. Okay, their ears and their eyes have been sealed. Their eyes have got a cover. Truth cannot penetrate that person. Truth is irrelevant now. Truth is something that this person wants to have no connection with. Why do you might think that, you know, what is the point of all of this? The point that I'm making is that be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has given us here, simply because we're coming from an environment where it's normal to see people getting out of the fold of Islam. And I'm not making this up, I'm standing in a masjid. I don't need to try and just, you know, entertain you and give you shocking news like the sun or something like that. This is a fact. It's very normal to see people coming and just leaving Islam without even giving it a second thought. And I can start with story after story. I mean, just not too long ago, I also related this on Radio Islam a few days ago, when I was called to perform a wedding, called to perform a nikah. I didn't know until at the end of the nikah that in that gathering there was over 100 apostates. Over 100 people who have renounced Islam. Murtads. Just a few weeks before I came here, had a couple of parents come in with their child who was over 20. And he apparently had left Islam for a long time, but he didn't want to reveal it to his parents. But now he just couldn't bear it anymore. And he had to come out and he said that, you know what, this thing just doesn't do it for me. Mom, Dad, I'm not a Muslim. Just accept it. And then I'm trying to connect with this person. And the person told me upright, listen, don't engage me. So I asked him, so what are you going to use as the standard of good and evil? He goes, I'm the standard. I dictate what's good and evil in my life. I mean, at that time, what are you going to do? You can't argue with the person. You can't really start scolding him or whatever. And all I could advise to the parents at that time is, adopt the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of him and just continue making dua, Allahumma shrah sadrahu lil Islam. Oh Allah, open up his heart for Islam. But the point I'm trying to make is this is normal from where we come from. And it's an epidemic. And that happens because a person has now been caught up on the other side. A person has now fallen for that trap. And hence, this is why a person like myself coming to an environment like this and seeing this, this is so encouraging. This is such a spiritual boost and upliftment. I have no words to articulate the happiness and the joy that I'm experiencing when seeing this. And the message that I'm trying to now impart is that be grateful to Allah for what He has given you. Be grateful to that Allah that He has established this, where all of us can comfortably live as believers, where all of us comfortably can support one another. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Allah is telling us that we support one another in acts of righteousness and piety and God consciousness. You can easily do that. Where we have one brother or one sister going a bit off track with hikmah, with love, we can bring them back on track. It's not too difficult. So we should be extremely grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on top of that, we should use this type of environment to our advantage and excel in spirituality. Excel in being the person who stands out most in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not the Mercedes Benz that we drive that makes us important in front of Allah. It's not the 10 bedroom home that I have that makes us important in front of Allah. It's not the cash, the disposable cash that I carry in my pocket that makes us important in the eyes of Allah. It's not the line of credit that I have access to that makes us important in front of Allah. If there's anything that makes us important in front of Allah, it's nothing but being conscious of Him. And that consciousness is known as taqwa. إِنَّ أَقْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most noble of you is the most God conscious and the most Allah conscious of you. Because it is that Allah consciousness that is going to now deter a person from disobeying that very Creator. It's going to be that Allah consciousness that's going to make us want to run towards our Creator. That's when we understand the words, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Run to Allah. Allah's not saying, فَفِرُّوا مِنَ اللَّهِ. Don't run away from Allah. Run to Allah. Because that Allah is so loving, it's just totally beyond our comprehension. When it comes to the way He shows appreciation to the creation that He has given ability to. Imagine that. He has given us the faculties. He has given us the strength. He has given us everything that we require to move forward. And then we do that little bit of effort. He is more appreciative than we can ever be to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ سَعْيُكُمْ مَشْكُورًا. That your efforts are appreciated. And He calls Himself شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. Allah is always appreciative and ever acquainted and ever knowledgeable of everything that we do. And just for us to get an idea of how appreciative He is, we come across a hadith in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is telling us about an individual who wants to go and move forward in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making an intention. إِذَا هَمَّ بِحَسَنَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا. But this person, what happens? He makes an intention to do something good. Say for example, I had the intention of going down to the masjid for dhuhr. Fully prepared to do so, but all of a sudden there was an emergency call. My son at school fell down and they're calling me over to the school to pick him up. I was on my way to, I had the intention of leaving the house to go to the masjid. But this emergency has come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to overlook that intention. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will document that. كَتَبَهَ اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلَةً. Allah will document that within our record of deeds as one complete good deed without compromise. We're being compensated for something we didn't even do. I mean, think about it. When's the last time we go to work and I had an intention of executing my mandate, whatever I'm told to do, but I don't do it and still I'm being compensated in full? Okay, we may have a few instances here and there because I'm on salary. Let's move forward. When this individual does go forward and do that good deed, I actually came out of the house. I went to the masjid. I performed my salah behind the imam, standing shoulder to shoulder, facing the qibla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now going to document that. First and foremost, because we did this in congregation, I'm going to be rewarded as if I did this act 27 times. And not only that, then you also have another bare minimum, which is given to that person of 10 times to 700 times, إِلَىٰ أَضْعَافٍ كَثِيرًا, as Allah, as the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, until multiple times. Basically, Allah is overcompensating us for the little that we have done. And that compensation will only realize at a time when every single person is going to be running away and doesn't want to have any connection with us because they're afraid we're going to ask him for some loose change. That is the day. الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِيمُ فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. On that day, when the best of friends are going to turn into the worst of enemies, except for those people who had the quality of taqwa within their hearts. On that day, when there will be no blood ties remaining, and no one's going to even ask of one another. My son is not going to be concerned about me, and I'm not going to be concerned about my son. That's the day when we are going to see the fruits of this compensation, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give us a paycheck that's bigger than our minds can actually conceive. So the point that is being made is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that loving being who's ready to overcompensate us for the small little deeds that we do, let alone the big deeds. The small things that we do to progress, to move forward, to get a bigger paycheck. He's ready to give that. The question is, are we ready to take that? That's the question. And alhamdulillah, you have everything here working in your favor to get the biggest paycheck that any person can ever receive. This is the type of environment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted all of us here. I mean, I wish I could have something like this where I'm coming from, but we just don't. So, the message is that let's be appreciative to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, use this in our advantage to excel towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be those individuals who truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because, my dear respected brothers and sisters who are listening, there is no being in existence that loves us more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no being. Think about this. If I do something wrong, let's say for example, I'm addressing all of us here right now, and I say something that's totally inappropriate. Say for example, I just start swearing. And you're going to think like, what's wrong with this guy? This guy's totally whack. You're going to think, this is going to be the talk of the town for the next 10 years probably. This imam from Canada came over here in Masjid Noor, gave a talk and he was swearing. What a disgusting individual. We'd revile him, we'd probably, you know, write an article against that individual. We'd be talking about it in every gathering that we go. And we would be very unforgiving. That you, as an imam, stands here to address us, and this is the filthy language you use? How dare you? In the house of Allah, how dare you? By nature, we're very unforgiving. That's not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By nature, He's always forgiving. He's Ghafoor Rahim, and He means it. Doesn't matter what type of offenses I have done. Doesn't matter if my offenses would overwhelm the courts and the places of authority for public safety. It doesn't matter if every single sin that I have done, every single offense, whether it's a felony or a misdemeanor, it fills this ground that's below my feet to the seventh sky, all the way to where Baytul Ma'mur is. We just turn once to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those 2 minutes. And we're remorseful for what we have done. And we ask Allah sincerely, Ya Allah, please forgive me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just that one time, Just that one instance when we have just turned to Him in sincerity, repentant, not having to make a case, not having to apologize 1 billion times. Just making that one little turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is He saying? غَفَرْتُ لَكَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنْكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. I will forgive you for whatever you have perpetrated. And I do not care. وَلَا أُبَالِي. That's the Allah. Now you tell me, is there any being that can be more loving than that being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can there be? Yes or no? I can't hear you. Absolutely not. I've just given a practical example that if I was to do something right now, we would not be prepared to forgive that for the next 20 years, if not 30 or 40. And we, if we were sinning all our lives, and we just turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that once, unconditionally, without any strings attached, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready to not just forgive and pardon, but to delete that from our record of deeds, that to the extent on the Day of Judgment, we won't even see it recorded. It's like highlight, press the delete button, it's gone, it never happened. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we need to understand about Allah when we say, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. And that's the being that we want to run towards, not run away from. And how do we run towards Him? We'll just finish off with this, that the only way we can run towards Him is not on our terms, but on His terms, and the terms that He has set is in the example in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which, my dear respected brothers and sisters at home, we do not want to limit to just an appearance. The sunnah is not just about wearing this topi, having a beard, and having these long robes. But the sunnah is going to be extended in our domestic lives, in our corporate lives, in our social lives. Every single aspect it encompasses. And that's the only way I'm going to move forward towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a healthy fashion. We don't just take the tail of the horse and say that this is a complete horse. No. We have to take it in a holistic fashion. And that's what we all want to commit to. That each and every single one of us is going to be a walking, talking representative of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And by Allah, that lifestyle, we don't know the impact that it has on people's lives who are outside the faith, because we're so accustomed to being part of a community that's in the faith. But it has a very heavy impact. If they will not come and embrace Islam, they will at least respect Islam. And this I'm saying through experience. And so to conclude, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to appreciate the type of environment He has given us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to continue moving forward in spirituality and make us all eligible for that one verse, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. All of us can be that. Don't think that it's only reserved for a few personalities. Every single person here can be a wali of Allah. Every single person here can attain the highest of positions in the eyes of Allah. All of us. It's only a matter of us taking that first step. May Allah give us all the tawfiq. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.